Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. If you drive through the windy one-lane roads of Vermont, you may see drivers on the opposite side of that one-lane road offering a quick wave, or maybe you're the one doing the waving. The so-called Vermont wave caught the eye of brave little state question asker Mika Tucker, and reporter Nina Keck headed off to find an answer. The Brave Little State team takes it from here.
From Vermont Public, this is Brave Little State. I'm Burgess Brown.
And I'm Nina Keck.
Any preferences for where we drive?
No, this can be the mystery tour. I'm just going to book her.
Yeah.
You just waved.
I did. That's my neighbor and fellow timber framer.
Oh, wow, that was a full hand wave. Do you know him?
I do.
Okay. So Mika Tucker and I are heading north on the Tunbridge Road, trying to see who's going to wave, who's not, and what sort of stylistic differences we see. Okay, coming up on a pedestrian. Throwing the wave. Oh, nice wave in return.
No wave.
I think this is too fast.
Yeah.
Not even a one finger. I noticed you tried the one finger on that one. It did not work. All right, so now the speed limit drops to 35. We'll see if we have any more waves here.
Yeah.
Two hands.
Two hands. Yes. That was great. I don't know him, but he gave me two hands.
Two hands, one finger. Everyone has their own take on the so-called Vermont wave. If you live in a rural part of Vermont and have been driving slow enough, you've definitely seen it, that little finger or hand flash from another driver.
And it makes me feel so at home. It makes me feel so...
Mika Tucker, who I was driving around with, is this episode's winning question asker. She lives in South Stratford and lived in Norwich for a few years before that. But she was born in Scotland and raised in New Orleans. And she says after growing up in the South, Vermont has been an adjustment.
I miss the darlings and the hugs and the boisterous sort of friendliness of the South.
Mika says the one thing that comes close to that in Vermont is the wave people do from behind the wheel.
It's the thing that makes me feel like I belong here. But I had to, when I first saw it, I was like, what are people doing? And I felt like it was immediately recognized it as a kind of code that I didn't know how to do. So it was definitely an outsider thing for me.
Do you lift one finger off the steering wheel or two? Who gets a whole hand wave and who doesn't? When exactly do you do it? And what does it mean?
Since I'm sort of still learning this whole code, I'd love to hear from people who've lived here all their life that, oh no, this is definitely how you do it.
These are the sorts of investigations, dear listeners, that Brave Little State lives for.
Welcome to Brave Little State, Vermont Public's people-powered journalism project. We answer your questions about Vermont, ones that you vote on and deem worthy. And whenever possible, we bring our winning question asker along for the reporting, or in this case, along for the ride.
I'm Mika Tucker, and I live in South Stratford, Vermont. And I want to know, what's up with the Vermont wave?
Reporter Nina Keck explores the unwritten rules of the road.
You know, you expect to be courteous when you meet someone, pull over in the right spot.
If you don't wave, it's kind of considered rude.
And what these rules can tell us about our communities.
There is an added layer of, we got to take care of one another.
We're a proud member of the NPR network. Welcome.
So let's get back to it. to those ephemeral moments on the road when you and a stranger connect.
The first time I realized that it was a thing was riding around with my father.
This is Tim Curran. He grew up outside Bennington in Shaftesbury.
And I saw him just waving at all sorts of people. And I remembered asking him, you know, who is that? And he said, I have no idea. I don't know who it is.
Tim's 35 and lives in Thetford now. And like his dad, he waves all the time.
If you do it often enough, you sort of develop your own little style.
Tim says he tends to raise one or two fingers straight up from the top of the steering wheel. If he knows the person, he throws in a little extra.
My personal flourish tends to be a little bit of a wave and then a point if I'm acknowledging somebody that I recognize.
A personal flourish doesn't have to be ephemeral. Some can be legendary. Tim tells me about a wave like that that belonged to a guy named Tiger Dick.
He would sit at the end of the road from the dump at Tunbridge.
Tiger Dick's real name was Elbert R. Barnaby. He collected returnable bottles and cans.
And he would always wave to everybody that passed by, no matter whether he knew you, whether he recognized the car. You know, it was if there was a car going by, his hand was going up in the air, you know, pinky and ring finger down, and then everything else right straight up.
Not only was Tiger Dick iconic in Tunbridge, so was his unique wave, like a half-Spock salute from Star Trek.
He was just so well known by, you know, everybody around town that when he passed away, somebody erected a small memorial to him, placed up on a tree, just simply saying the word bye, B-Y-E, and his little signature hand wave was right next to it.
Elbert Barnaby, a.k.a. Tiger Dick, died in October 2022. He was 75. You can see a photo of that memorial Tim's talking about at bravelittlestate.org. Since our question asker, Mika, was asking for tips on how to properly do the Vermont wave, I went looking and actually found a lesson on YouTube.
Hoi, I'm Charlie.
And I'm Margaret. And we are, as they say, real Vermonters.
This is Maya McCoy and her husband Brent playing a version of themselves in a YouTube skit about real Vermont etiquette.
And it's for the newcomers, of course, but it's also for the locals. Because we've noticed some of us are slipping.
I called them up to get their thoughts.
Dirt roads are really important because you're going slow. So there's time to see somebody, acknowledge, and wave. Sometimes, you know, on Interstate 89, it's really a challenge to wave at people.
Brent and Maya were both born in Vermont and live in Greensboro in the Northeast Kingdom. They're vaudeville-type circus performers. They travel all over the world to fairs, special events, outdoor city celebrations. During the pandemic, when they couldn't do any of that, they produced some short videos for Hardwick's public access television station. You just heard a snippet of one about what it means to be a Vermonter. And you guessed it, there's a lesson on waving.
I'm a huge fan of the Vermont accent, and I can turn it on real thick on the drop of a hat, you know, because that's where my roots are from.
I asked them to give me a little sample in character.
All right, well, picture this. You're driving down the road. It's a beautiful day. Sun is shining.
But then you see a car coming. Okay, you've never seen that car before in your life. So,
well, what do you do?
Well, good question.
You take your forehead, and it goes down about 4 inches down. And simultaneously, which means at the same time as I just recently learned, your finger goes up. Make sure it's the correct finger. That would be your index finger. Mm-hmm. If you're in Massachusetts, it's the next one down, and that's the kind of waving they do there. But if you're in Vermont, it's the index finger.
It's fun to poke fun, Brent tells me. But this wave thing, there's something deeper there, a nonverbal colloquialism that's just part of how things are done in Vermont and have been for generations.
It's like you want to borrow your neighbor's wood splitter and you want to have that ongoing, you know, support infrastructure that goes on between rural neighbors, you know, check on our house if the power goes out kind of thing. Keeping those little degrees of connection alive. It's just one little method for doing that that costs nothing and feels good along the way.
It's the original like button where you get that little bit of dopamine of I was seen, and that's pretty cool.
Speaking of like buttons, when the question about waving won, we went to social media and asked for your input on Reddit, Instagram, even the BLS hotline, and we got an earful.
Hi, my name's Tess. I'm calling in about the waving question because, you know, not only is it friendly, but if you walk a lot like I do, you know, go out and walk my dog, I feel like when I wave at all of the cars and I get them to notice me a little extra, then they'll remember that there's pedestrians on their road and maybe drive just like a little bit safer.
Some people mentioned how a wave can help you get out of an actual conversation with someone, which can be handy. A mail carrier in Vermont said waving to everyone can sometimes be a pain, but he called it essential to his job for the support and trust it symbolizes. So maybe there is utility to it, but maybe it's just the nice thing to do.
Well, you always wave at someone else, usually, when you meet someone. Especially in this neighborhood. I mean, you know about everybody.
Grayling Van Alstyne is someone I met while working on another story. He grew up on a farm in East Barnard and still lives close by today. He considers the wave Vermont car manners.
Yes, it is. It's no road rage. You know, you expect to be courteous when you meet someone, pull over in the right spot.
Which is important when you're on a dirt road that may only be wide enough for one car. But what about paved roads in larger cities? A lot of people who reached out to us on this topic wondered about Burlington. We heard over and over that the waving stops when they hit city limits. So are people in the state's bigger cities just not friendly? Do they not know about Vermont car manners? My colleague Sabine Pooks in Burlington takes it from here.
It's 8 in the morning on the corner of North and Rose Streets in Burlington's Old North End. I'm here to test a theory that people in Burlington don't wave when they're driving on the main roads. There are just too many other cars to do that. But outside of their cars,
hi, Evan. Come on, honey.
It's harder to hide. And this seems to be where the waving happens.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, if I were to just stand here with no job to do for 45 minutes every morning, I'd probably get arrested. You know what I mean? But it's my job to be here. I have this day glow jacket on, and so nobody really questions it. But yeah,
Christine Tyler Hill is a crossing guard for the city of Burlington. Waving is a big part of the job. And in the early hours of the morning, her corner is a great place to watch pedestrians wave to her and to each other. Many of them are kids walking to school.
Do you get to talk to them? Like, what's like an interaction like?
Not here. No, it's all business, you know? They're on their way to work, if you will.
All business. It's true that this close to the start of the school day, kids seem too hurried to give much more than a quick nod.
As I go. Go. Bye, sweeties.
Bye.
But there's definitely still a typical wave Christine exchanges with pedestrians as they cross her corner.
It's kind of the, like, slight tilt of the head, smiling eyes thing. Like, just an acknowledgement of another person on the sidewalk being like, hey, we're out here, you know?
If in rural Vermont, a wave between drivers is a way to say, hey, I'll pull you out of a ditch, or I'll check on you when your power's out. Here, maybe it's more a gesture of solidarity between two walkers or bikers who are a bit more exposed out in the open.
There is an added layer of, we gotta take care of one another.
City roads have to accommodate all kinds of traffic. Cars, pedestrians, bikers, even buses. And each time a bus passes through Christine's intersection, she nods, and the bus driver puts up a hand.
To compare it to that sort of back road, two cars passing, drivers kind of give each other what I would call the Vermont wave. Mm-hmm. I think that the interactions I have with bus drivers is the closest equivalent because I think what's happening on back roads is people are acknowledging, like, we're out here. Mm-hmm. I see you. And I think with bus drivers, there's a shared sense of like, we're out here keeping things moving. When bus drivers drive by, we tend to sort of give one another like the two fingers or the nod, just to be like, hey.
Bus waves, pedestrian and biker waves. You also told us about Jeep waves, pickup truck waves, and motorcycle waves. The one I see most is where bikers extend one arm straight down as they pass another motorcyclist, but styles vary. And I rented a convertible many years ago to drive up to Montreal with friends, and afterwards, driving it back to the rental shop in Rutland, I was shocked and thrilled to realize there's a convertible wave, and I was briefly in the club. A number of you wondered if waving to strangers was just a Vermont thing, or at least a New England thing.
It's definitely not.
Margaret Daly lives in Pittsford, Vermont, and is originally from Texas.
It's something that I encountered my entire life growing up in West Texas and kind of North Central Texas.
We heard similar reports from people in Missouri, the Plains, Arizona, and other southern states who told us waving is more a small town thing than anything else. So, sorry, Vermont, we're not that special. In researching this episode, I came across a cool article about a 2,000-year-old stylized human hand made from a sheet of mica. It looked like it was doing an ancient wave, if you will. So I called the guy who wrote the piece, Steve Nash.
I'm president and chief executive officer of Archaeology Southwest in Tucson, Arizona.
Steve Nash told me Native Americans who are part of the Hopewell culture in Ohio crafted the now famous 11 by 7 inch cutout, and it's stunning.
As an archaeologist, we work with the material that preserves really well in the archaeological record. But I always think about the intangible aspects of it, and waves don't preserve, hand waves don't preserve in the archaeological record. But every, as far as I know, every human society waves.
In fact, he says there's a fundamental message that an empty raised hand conveys.
Yeah, it's demonstrating that you're not holding a weapon in that hand. So it is a disclosure mechanism. It's just a wave to us, but if you don't know what it is, it looks like a signal of some kind. But if there's a different wave out there and you do it incorrectly, it immediately identifies you as somebody else, as not somebody who is from Vermont. So there certainly is an aspect of group identity, group inclusion in all of this.
Steve Nash got me thinking. Since I started working on this episode, I've thought a lot about when I wave and when I don't and why. I live on a dirt road in a tiny town, and when I first moved to Vermont and still had Virginia plates on my car, waving felt awkward and just kind of wrong, like I was at a party in the wrong clothes. So there is a clubbiness to it, which is probably why humans wave when they're driving or out walking. Many of us even do an awkward side-to-side wave during Zoom calls. Once you start to do it, and start to belong, it feels good. Maybe question asker Mika Tucker got it right.
Becoming part of Vermont takes work.
Shoveling out your neighbor after a snowstorm and showing up at community dinners and town meetings.
At your school, at your PTA, at your church, wherever.
Mika thinks the wave is just another part of that effort, another part of belonging.
I wave at the people who came out last week to fix all the downed power lines and, you know, saw up those trees that were across the road. It's, hey, you know, you're making it through the hard winters. You're making it through the houses that have burned down, through the floods, through all those things. It's like I recognize you. I see you. I'm going to be there for you. And I know you'll show up for me.
Or, as Brent McCoy would put it,
it ain't that important, but it also kind of is.
That was Dinah Keck reporting for Brave Little State. Thanks to Mika Tucker for the great question. Joining us from Rutland is the reporter for the episode, Vermont Public's senior reporter, Dinah Keck. Dinah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dinah, what some listeners might not know is that the reporters on Brave Little State episodes get to select a couple questions that interest them that then go into a public voting round. So you helped pick this Vermont Wave question. Why were you drawn to it?
I think partly because it was fun and it piqued my curiosity. I wave when I drive. I live in a small town, and it got me thinking about, well, is it a Vermont wave? Does everybody wave? Is it outside of Vermont? Is it just a small town thing? I started to ask all these questions, and when I broached with editor Burgess and some of the other Brave Little State team about, I kind of like this question, there was immediately sort of a hum of conversation saying, yeah, we wondered about that. And it hit a nerve when we put it out to social media for comments.
Yeah, and you got a lot of feedback. How else did you go about researching this story?
Well, I think it was very helpful, first of all, that Mika Tucker was so involved. I mean, you heard her do the drive along with me. And when possible, we encourage whoever asked the question to take part in reporting it. Some do and some don't. I've had it go both ways. Mika was all in, so it was fun to drive around with her to see her in action and also to pick her brain. She was really thoughtful about it. And she was really thorough. She showed me this notebook that she had where she jotted all sorts of thoughts down about it.
Huh.
But I think, you know, when I started just Googling waving and social waving, I found studies and Steve Nash, that archaeologist that I interviewed, he fascinated me.
What was so fascinating about him to you?
Well, I think just him peeling away the fact that this is not, you know, we may like to think that this is a Vermont thing, but, you know, peeling back layer upon layer and saying, no, it's an ancient thing. It's a societal, it's a human thing, and kind of talking about some of the reasons why. And I was hoping that I could dig into some of the sociological data. I found some studies about human waves, but none of the people that did those studies was willing to chat with me. I had a real tough time tracking down authors of some research on waving. But I thought research was really fascinating, looking at what he was able to find when it comes to archaeological digs. You heard him say it's kind of an intangible, a human wave. And he, when I was chatting with him, was talking about the fact that, you know, jokes, there's no fossilized record of human joking, but you know that's an ancient thing as well. And he sort of said there's some similarities between waving. It's a form of connecting.
Mm. Well, speaking of connecting, there's a great line towards the end of the episode from the question asker, Mika, who says, where is it? Becoming part of Vermont takes work. Now, Dinah, through your reporting over the years, what do you think that work looks like?
I totally agreed with her on that. I had never lived in a small town before I moved to Vermont. So the whole idea of what Mika was talking about, that moving to a state like Vermont, taking work, I think was echoed by a couple of the folks in the episode, especially Brent and Maya McCoy. They were talking about how when you live in a rural community, you need your neighbors. There is oftentimes no city truck that's going to just jump over to your house if there's a tree down. You often have to find a saw or ask somebody in the neighborhood that's got a chainsaw to come take care of it, or you take care of it together. And so that work of meeting your neighbors, getting involved, because you don't know when you're going to need somebody to come plow your driveway out or pull you out of a ditch. I mean, it is kind of stereotypical, but I also think it's very true, and I absolutely agree with that. Since moving to Vermont, I feel that connection. And this episode made me think about my own waving habits for sure.
Now, I was going to ask, do you wave? Do you do a one finger too?
I do wave. And comparing, I've been watching, does my husband wave, you know, when we're driving? And he waves less than I do. So I'm like, come on, you didn't wave to that person. But I think we all have different thresholds of when we wave and when we don't. I tend to raise my whole hand, keeping the heel of my hand on the steering wheel. Someone emailed me that said, I forgot to point out that waving is often a thank you. I kind of alluded to it, but this listener said the wave is a full hand up meant to show plow drivers, flagmen and women on construction sites, people that pull over for you on a narrow road. If you're at a crosswalk, for sure, you wave to the person that stops and let you cross. So there's a whole lot of layers to this. And I found it fascinating, Michaela. Do you wave?
I do. But I was just going to say, I feel like a lot of folks listen to this show while they're driving in the car. Maybe they'll be waving a little bit more today. And I know I will.
Well, good.
Yeah. Nina Keck, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to talk about this episode with you.
Always a pleasure, Michaela.
All right, that was Vermont Public's Nina Keck. The episode of Brave Little State you heard was produced by Burgess Brown, editing and additional production support from Sabine Pooks and Josh Crane. Angela Evansy is Brave Little State's executive producer. Theme music's by Ty Gibbons, and there was other music in there by Blue Dot Sessions. Today's Vermont edition was directed by Liz Fullerton and produced by Tedra Meyer, Andrea Lorien, and Daniela Fierro. Our call screener today was Rick Barrett, and our theme music was composed by Myra Flynn. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch up again soon.